The nearer a man comes to a calm mind, the closer he is to strength. The mind is the battlefield where every victory and every defeat begins. Before a word is spoken, before a hand moves, before the body reacts, there is a decision, silent and invisible, that determines the outcome. Most never see it. They live inside reflex, mistaking impulse for instinct and emotion for truth. They do not rule their thoughts, they are ruled by them. The Stoic begins here, at the source, where control is born or lost. To train the mind to respond, not react, is to reclaim dominion over reality itself. Disturbance does not live in the world, it lives in interpretation. Events unfold as they will, meaning is what the mind builds around them. The untrained inflate inconvenience into tragedy, insult into war, delay into defeat. The trained see clearly. They separate fact from fiction, cause from commentary. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "If you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it. The estimate is everything. Change the estimate, and the entire world changes with it." Reaction is surrender. Response is command. One belongs to chaos, the other to character. The Stoic sharpens this distinction until it governs every part of life. Speech, thought, conduct and silence. To respond is to pause inside pressure and choose from principle, not panic. To react is to abandon awareness and let emotion steer. The distance between these two defines strength. This lecture is that distance, how to widen it, master it, and turn the mind into something unprovocable, deliberate, and free. A mind that reacts without examination turns its strength into volatility. The Stoic trains the mind to stand still when pressure rises, not because stillness is gentle, but because stillness is control. When a sudden event strikes, the untrained mind contracts around the moment and pours imagination into the unknown. Seneca warned that we suffer more in imagination than in reality, reminding the disciplined person to anchor perception before emotion accelerates. Reaction belongs to the body, but response belongs to the judgment. Training begins by forcing a delay between stimulus and meaning. Impulses surface quickly, but they are not commands. They are proposals. They present themselves with force, yet force is not authority. The trained mind recognizes that the first surge is noise, a burst of instinct shaped by habit, memory, and fear. When the Stoic stands inside this initial surge, they watch it without obeying it. The space between the rise of emotion and the choice of action is where self-governance is built. It is in that space that freedom takes form. The body wants speed, but the mind must want clarity. When anger, fear, or agitation appear, they push the person toward fast decisions, sharp words, or defensive posture. The trained mind treats these impulses as weather, not law. Seneca said, "Anger, an acid that does more harm to the vessel in which it is stored," marking anger as internal corrosion rather than external force. The Stoic studies this truth without flinching. The goal is not to eliminate emotion. The goal is to prevent emotion from steering the self. A reaction is a collapse into instinct. A response is the assertion of identity. The Stoic holds identity above circumstance, ensuring that external friction cannot redirect internal direction. When pressure rises, most people allow the world to reach into their judgment and bend it. The trained mind maintains its shape. It is shaped by principle, not atmosphere. This is what Seneca meant when he said, "He who is brave is free." Freedom in this context is not the absence of discomfort, it is the absence of compulsion. A person who must react to everything is not free. A person who cannot remain neutral under stimulus is not free. The Stoic reclaims this freedom through discipline in perception. They do not imagine threats where none exist. They do not predict catastrophe where the facts show only inconvenience. They do not allow imagination to inflate the world beyond reality. The mind must be trained to slow before interpreting events. Interpretation is where most suffering is manufactured. Seneca's reminder that a man who suffers before it is necessary suffers more than is necessary reveals the core mechanism. Imagination multiplies pain when the person does not control perception. A trained mind questions immediate interpretations. It asks whether the threat is real or imagined. It asks whether the offense is intentional or assumed. It asks whether this moment requires action or patience. When a mind reacts automatically, it behaves as if every disturbance is meaningful. Most disturbances are not. Many are momentary, accidental, or neutral, but the untrained mind treats them as personal attacks. The Stoic refuses to take events personally. The Stoic refuses to let the ego turn every inconvenience into an insult. This refusal is not soft. It is strategic. It prevents wasted energy. It prevents unnecessary battles. It preserves inner stability. Inner stability is not passive. It is the posture of someone who has studied themselves deeply, a person who knows their own weaknesses, biases, and tendencies becomes harder to disturb. When a thought rises, they recognize its origin. When an impulse appears, they understand which fear produced it. This knowledge prevents deception by one's own mind. The unexamined mind reacts because it is blind to itself. The examined mind responds because it is familiar with its inner terrain. Self-mastery depends on this familiarity. A mind that has not studied itself collapses under pressure, because pressure reveals what is hidden. The Stoic prepares for pressure by knowing their own patterns. They know the situations that activate impatience. They know the tones that spark anger. They know the environments that expand anxiety. This knowledge allows prevention. Prevention is the highest form of strength. A Stoic does not wait for a crisis to train their responses. Responding instead of reacting begins with training attention. Attention is the gatekeeper of interpretation. When attention is scattered, every event feels urgent. When attention is anchored, events lose their power to provoke. The Stoic narrows attention to the essential. This narrowing filters out unnecessary input. With fewer inputs, reactions lose their intensity. With clarity in place, responses become intentional. Sensations, thoughts, and emotions arise without permission. This is normal. The Stoic does not attempt to control their appearance. Control applies to the evaluation that follows. The mind may feel fear, but judgment determines whether fear is relevant. The mind may feel irritation, but judgment determines whether irritation deserves expression. This sequence, stimulus, awareness, evaluation, response, is the rhythm of Stoic self-governance. A trained mind views provocation as a test of structure. If provocation leads to immediate reaction, the structure is weak. If provocation leads to observation, the structure is strong. Even the presence of anger does not indicate failure. Failure occurs only when anger directs action. The Stoic watches anger like a flame contained within glass. It can be seen, but it cannot be touched. It is recognized, but it does not control movement. Every reaction that escapes without restraint damages the integrity of the mind. The mind must know that its evaluations carry authority, not its impulses. If impulses dominate, the mind loses credibility with itself. When the mind loses credibility, discipline erodes. This erosion is subtle at first. A small reaction here, a sharp word there. But habits grow quickly. Reaction becomes default. Default becomes identity. Identity must be aligned with principle. A person who identifies as reactive becomes predictable. Their environment learns how to control them. Their triggers become buttons that anyone can press. This is the opposite of Stoic freedom. The Stoic trains the mind so thoroughly that triggers lose their leverage. Predictability is removed. The inner posture becomes neutral, unreadable, unprovocable. Neutrality is strength. It is not absence of emotion, it is the containment of emotion. A neutral mind remains aware of its surroundings without being shaped by them. It allows events to pass through without attaching identity or narrative. This prevents the buildup of resentment, agitation, or imagined crises. Neutrality frees energy for meaningful action. Meaningful action depends on clarity. Clarity comes from separation between event and interpretation. This separation must be trained repeatedly until it becomes instinctive. When the mind pauses before assigning meaning, the world becomes less hostile. Situations shrink to their actual size. The person stops predicting negative outcomes. Imagination loses its hold. Reality becomes manageable. The mind must learn to distrust its first story. The first story is emotional. It arises from fear, pride, or memory. The trained mind waits for the second story. The second story is rational. It respects the facts. It respects proportion. It respects principle. The second story leads to a response instead of a reaction. A response is built on principle, not preference. Reaction is built on impulse, not judgment. The Stoic aligns every response with their internal code. This code is stable. This code is consistent. This code does not shift when someone acts disrespectfully. It does not collapse when the world becomes chaotic. Inner code turns the mind into a fortress. A mental fortress is not rigid. Rigidity breaks under pressure. A fortress must be flexible enough to adapt without losing structure. The Stoic adapts through awareness. When chaos rises, awareness sharpens. When confusion appears, awareness expands. This adaptive awareness prevents misinterpretation. Misinterpretation is the birthplace of reaction. Most reactions come from threat perception. When the mind assumes danger, it prepares for defense. When the mind sees insult, it raises pride. When the mind senses disrespect, it forms anger. These interpretations are often inaccurate. They result from insecurity, not reality. The Stoic trains perception to remain objective. Objectivity dissolves imaginary threats. Imaginary threats drain energy. Real threats require action. The Stoic differentiates between the two with precision. This precision saves strength. It protects the mind from unnecessary agitation. It directs attention toward what deserves attention. This is the foundation of efficient self-governance. Responding requires strength because it requires restraint. Restraint is often mistaken for passivity by the undisciplined. In reality, restraint is power directed inward. It is harder to hold the tongue than to release it. It is harder to remain still than to strike. It is harder to observe emotion than to obey it. The Stoic understands this and trains accordingly. Emotion can be felt fully without being acted upon. This distinction is fundamental. The mind may experience agitation in the body, a rising heat, a quickening of breath, a tightening of posture. These sensations do not need reactions attached to them. They can exist without direction. They can pass without expression. Training teaches the mind to remain sovereign even as the body fluctuates. Sovereignty means priority of judgment over sensation. It means that the mind leads and the body follows. When the body leads, reactions dominate. When the mind leads, responses emerge. The Stoic does not ignore the body. They guide it. They stabilize breathing. They steady posture. They slow movement. Physical stillness feeds mental stillness. The mind and body reinforce each other. When the body reacts sharply, the mind follows. When the body remains composed, the mind stabilizes. This interdependence allows the Stoic to use physical control as a tool for mental control. A still body produces a still mind. A still mind produces clean judgment. Clean judgment is the aim. Clean judgment filters events without distortion. It interprets situations based on principle rather than mood. It sees clearly even when circumstances shift rapidly. A person with clean judgment does not dramatize delays, inconveniences, or misunderstandings. They remain accurate. Accuracy protects them from self-inflicted suffering. Self-inflicted suffering is the largest source of distress in most lives. External events are often manageable. Internal reactions multiply their severity. A late message becomes rejection. A small mistake becomes catastrophe. A brief disagreement becomes disrespect. These transformations come from imagination, not reality. Seneca's teaching applies here with full force. The trained mind refuses to amplify events. It refuses to build stories that harm stability. It refuses to assume intentions behind other people's actions. It refuses to escalate minor issues into major conflicts. This refusal is discipline. It is clarity. It is liberation from the storms created by imagination. Liberation does not come from changing the world. It comes from changing the posture of the mind. If the mind collapses under pressure, external change cannot help. If the mind remains steady, external chaos cannot dominate. The Stoic understands that stability is an internal craftsmanship. It must be shaped daily. Craftsmanship requires repetition. The mind must practice slowing down. It must practice observing impulses without surrendering to them. It must practice pausing before speaking. It must practice questioning its interpretations. Each repetition strengthens the gap between thought and action. This gap is where mastery is built. Mastery is not perfection. It is consistency. The mind will still produce fast emotions. It will still generate instinctive reactions. But the trained individual recognizes these quickly and chooses not to follow them. This choice is strength. Strength is choice exercised repeatedly. Choice requires awareness. Awareness must stay active even in difficult moments. The mind cannot drift into autopilot. Autopilot belongs to reaction, not response. The Stoic remains awake inside their own experience. They watch themselves think. They watch themselves feel. This inner observation becomes a habit. Observation creates distance. Distance breaks identification. When a person identifies with emotion, emotion takes control. When they observe emotion, emotion becomes information. Information is manageable. It can be analyzed. It can be interpreted. This transforms the relationship between the person and their inner world. Transformation comes from discipline in thought. Thoughts arrive uninvited, but acceptance is optional. The Stoic treats thoughts as options, not commands. This attitude prevents spirals. It prevents catastrophizing. It prevents entanglement in imaginary scenarios. The mind remains clean. Clean thinking creates calm action. Calm action is not slow, it is precise. Precision lowers error. Lower error reduces regret. Reduced regret builds confidence. Confidence reinforces composure. This cycle strengthens the posture of response. Response is anchored in long-term identity. Reaction is anchored in the intensity of the moment. Moments are unstable. Identity must not be. A person who reacts quickly changes their behavior from one moment to the next. They become inconsistent. Inconsistency weakens self-respect. The Stoic protects self-respect through stable conduct. Stable conduct builds trust in oneself. When a person trusts their own judgment, external events lose their intimidation. They know they will respond cleanly. They know they will not embarrass themselves through impulse. They know they will uphold their principles even under fire. This self-trust is one of the highest forms of confidence. Confidence grows from pattern recognition. When the mind repeatedly chooses the right response, it forms an expectation of its own discipline. This expectation becomes identity. Identity becomes instinct. Instinct becomes the new default. Reaction fades. Response strengthens. Strength at this stage becomes quiet. It does not need display. It does not need defense. It does not need dramatic gestures. It exists as inner weight. It stabilizes thought. It shapes action. It protects the person from their own impulses. Protection from one's own impulses is the essence of Stoic training. External challenges cannot be controlled, but internal reactions can be mastered. The person who responds with clarity cannot be manipulated. The person who pauses before interpreting cannot be deceived. The person who chooses response over reaction moves through the world with precision, calm, and internal authority. Events cannot be controlled, but the posture of the mind can. The Stoic begins training by separating what is external from what is internal. This division is the foundation of control. Epictetus taught, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." In these few words, he revealed the essence of freedom. The world acts, and the disciplined mind decides how to meet that action. The untrained mind blames circumstance. The trained mind examines its own interpretation. Between stimulus and response lies the entire domain of human power. Every event is neutral until the mind assigns meaning. Fire burns the careless and warms the prepared. The same flame, different perception. The Stoic studies this principle until it becomes instinct. When something occurs, praise, insult, delay, loss, the untrained person reacts as though fate has personal intent. The trained person remains unmoved until judgment confirms what deserves movement. This delay is the birthplace of wisdom. Freedom for the Stoic is internal sovereignty. No man is free who is not master of himself. This mastery is not achieved once, it is maintained daily. Each moment offers a test, to rule the self or to be ruled by impulse. The mind that governs itself does not need control over others. The person who commands thought commands reality, because perception determines experience. The untrained mind sees chains everywhere. The disciplined mind finds order, even within limitation. Self-mastery requires self-observation. Without awareness, reactions appear as facts rather than choices. When anger rises, it feels justified. When fear tightens the body, it feels inevitable. When irritation sparks, it feels external. The Stoic steps back from these sensations and studies them like movements in another person. This detachment is not coldness, it is clarity. Clarity prevents the contagion of emotion from spreading through judgment. If someone succeeds in provoking you, Epictetus said, realize that your mind is complicit in the provocation. This statement exposes the uncomfortable truth that external insults have no power unless the mind invites them in. The provocateur is not the cause of agitation. Permission is. The trained mind revokes that permission. It closes the door to borrowed emotions. It refuses entry to disturbance. The result is stillness in the midst of conflict. Stillness does not mean inaction. It means deliberate motion. When provoked, the Stoic assesses the situation like a strategist, not a victim. They ask, does this require response or is silence stronger? They choose without haste, without need to defend pride or display dominance. The aim is control, not victory. Reaction serves pride. Response serves principle. When something happens, Epictetus reminded, the only thing in your power is your attitude toward it. The external world belongs to chance. The internal world belongs to discipline. The difference between suffering and growth lies in this distinction. Events cannot be stopped, but attitudes can be shaped. The Stoic shapes attitude like a sculptor shapes marble, through patience, repetition, and precision. Every event becomes raw material for the refinement of composure. Composure is the visible form of inner mastery. It is not indifference, it is strength without display. The composed person feels deeply but decides calmly. Their stillness unsettles the impulsive because it reveals control that cannot be provoked. Such control is not arrogance. It is the absence of dependence on external validation. The Stoic no longer needs agreement to confirm peace. Reaction is easy because it requires no discipline. Response is rare because it demands command of self. To train response, the Stoic practices interruption. When emotion rises, they create pause. The pause is the weapon of the wise. It breaks the momentum of reflex. It allows the mind to see clearly before acting. Inside that pause, the entire destiny of character is written. In the pause, the Stoic sees the architecture of control. They understand that external events strike the senses first, but the senses are only messengers. The intellect is the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper must verify, not assume. Verification replaces panic with proportion. Proportion replaces reaction with balance. Balance returns power to its rightful owner. Self-command is built through friction. Every challenge, insult, and setback is training ground. When the world becomes chaotic, the untrained mind panics, seeking escape. The trained mind sees practice. Each disruption is an opportunity to rehearse composure. The harder the moment, the stronger the proof of discipline. A calm posture under stress signals progress. Freedom then is not granted. It is earned through repetition of restraint. Each refusal to react reinforces control. Each act of patience strengthens endurance. Each moment of observation sharpens judgment. The Stoic does not seek comfort. They seek control over themselves in discomfort. This is the difference between existing and living with intention. Intention reshapes perception. When intention guides attention, events lose their capacity to dictate mood. A person with clear purpose views disturbance as data, not danger. They extract insight instead of injury. They convert disruption into instruction. This conversion transforms every difficulty into education. The reactive mind sees enemies. The responsive mind sees teachers. Training the mind to respond, not react, requires exposure. Avoidance weakens discipline. The Stoic does not hide from provocation. They confront it to measure progress. They face insult, inconvenience, and chaos to test their structure. Only by meeting resistance can stability be verified. Just as muscles strengthen through resistance, the mind hardens through tension. Tension reveals weakness. When emotion pulls hard, the disciplined person observes where the structure bends. They correct the posture, reinforce principle, and resume composure. This process is not pleasant, but it is necessary. Without stress, mastery remains theory. Only friction proves control. Control does not suppress emotion, it directs it. The Stoic uses emotion as energy, not authority. Anger becomes focus, fear becomes alertness, sadness becomes reflection. Each emotion serves function, not chaos. When governed by reason, emotion becomes instrument rather than master. The person who governs emotion governs outcome. Outcomes are external, but influence begins within. Epictetus reminded his students that even when the body is imprisoned, the mind can remain free. The body is limited by circumstance. The mind is limited only by perspective. Perspective determines endurance. A narrow mind collapses. A wide mind adapts. The Stoic expands awareness until obstacles lose intimidation. Adversity is not an exception. It is the natural rhythm of life. Reaction resists that rhythm and breaks under it. Response moves with it and transforms through it. The Stoic does not fight the current of events. They direct their movement within it. This alignment produces serenity. Serenity is not luck. It is skill in motion. Skill is built through observation. The Stoic examines not only events, but their own interpretations of them. They track emotional patterns, identify mental distortions, and refine perspective. Over time, this observation becomes instinct. The moment a disturbance arises, awareness activates automatically. Awareness replaces confusion with precision. Precision creates confidence. Confidence creates stillness. Stillness creates power. The untrained equate stillness with weakness. The wise recognize it as the ultimate strength. It takes more courage to remain silent under insult than to retaliate. It takes more strength to endure than to explode. The reactive person is a slave to mood. The Stoic is a master of motion. Mastery of motion is mastery of life. Every decision, word, and reaction reveals the state of inner order. Disorder within produces disorder without. The disciplined mind creates external harmony through internal regulation. Calmness becomes contagious. It stabilizes rooms, conversations, and relationships. The Stoic carries peace as presence, not performance. Presence is trained through awareness of thought. When thoughts are chaotic, the mind cannot perceive clearly. The Stoic filters thoughts like a craftsman selecting materials. Only those consistent with reason and principle are accepted. The rest are discarded. This filtration prevents contamination of judgment. Clean thought sustains clean action. Clean action requires deliberate preparation. Before entering difficult conversations or environments, the Stoic primes the mind. Expect disturbance, hold composure, respond from reason. This preemptive awareness prevents surprise. Surprise is the root of many reactions. Preparation disarms it. The prepared mind rarely panics. Panic arises when the mind forgets its power. Epictetus reminded that control extends only to attitude and choice. Everything else belongs to fate. Acceptance of this boundary removes chaos. The person who understands what is and is not theirs ceases to struggle with the uncontrollable. Energy returns to the realm of influence. Peace follows clarity. Clarity is cultivated through daily reflection. The Stoic examines the day's reactions, searching for moments where impulse replaced reason. Each discovery becomes instruction. Weak points are reinforced through contemplation. Reflection is mental repair. Without reflection, discipline decays in blindness. Blindness to inner state leads to dependency on outer control. The reactive person demands the world behave gently. The Stoic demands the self remain strong. When the world is chaotic, they do not curse the storm. They adjust the sails. This mental posture transforms chaos into navigation. Discipline becomes direction. Direction aligns life with principle. Principles remain steady while conditions fluctuate. The reactive person changes with every emotion. The disciplined person holds position. This consistency builds trust within and respect without. Others sense reliability. Reliability is silent influence. Influence is earned through self-governance. Governance of self is the highest form of leadership. The person who cannot command their mind cannot guide others. The Stoic's authority emerges from example, not rhetoric. Calmness under attack, patience under pressure, composure under insult, these are demonstrations of power. The world respects those who do not break under tension. Tension will always test the mind. Reaction collapses under it. Response grows through it. The Stoic trains daily to ensure that when life strikes, they strike back only with reason. Their calmness becomes unbreakable armor. Their perspective becomes shield. Their restraint becomes sword. In every situation, the Stoic remembers, when something happens, the only thing in your power is your attitude toward it. This truth is the cornerstone of invincibility. The person who controls attitude cannot be destroyed by circumstance. Fortune may bend them, but never break them. They remain free because they remain self-possessed. Self-possession is victory. It is the state in which external chaos meets internal order and fails to corrupt it. The reactive mind scatters under impact. The responsive mind condenses into focus. This focus is the summit of Stoic training. From it, all freedom descends. The one who responds rules themselves. The one who reacts is ruled by everything. The world will continue to provoke, disturb, and surprise. That cannot change. What can change is the discipline with which the mind meets the world. The Stoic trains until reaction dies and response remains. Then, even in crisis, clarity stands unshaken. The world moves, but the mind stays still within its center, calm, aware, and completely free. Anger is instinctive, control is earned. Aristotle understood that emotion is not evil by nature. It is energy misdirected by ignorance. Anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry with the right person, to the right degree, at the right time, for the right purpose, and in the right way, that is not within everybody's power and is not easy. In that sentence lies the entire difference between the untrained and the disciplined mind. The first is ruled by emotion. The second rules emotion through proportion. To train the mind to respond, not react, one must first see emotion as neutral power. Energy itself is not moral, it is potential. It takes form according to judgment. When anger appears, it is not a command but a signal. The Stoic uses that signal to analyze, not to explode. Anger reveals where attachment or expectation has been violated. If examined, it teaches. If obeyed blindly, it destroys. Aristotle's teaching was not to suppress emotion, but to govern it with reason. To be angry at the right time, for the right cause, and in the right measure means aligning impulse with principle. That alignment is the mark of mastery. The untrained react to offense as if every challenge deserves retaliation. The trained measure the value of response. They ask whether action serves justice or merely vanity. The difference between destruction and discipline is proportion. When anger is larger than the event, clarity vanishes. The Stoic studies proportion as an art form. They learn to assign energy according to truth, not feeling. If the insult is small, reaction must remain smaller. If the injustice is great, response must still follow reason. The magnitude of emotion must match the reality of the event, not the ego's interpretation of it. Ego magnifies injury. It turns small slights into major offenses. It distorts criticism into threat. It interprets delay as disrespect. This distortion feeds ungoverned anger. The trained mind deflates the ego's exaggerations. It asks, what actually happened? Not, how does this make me feel? This shift of question transforms emotion into information. Information becomes weapon only when refined by thought. A raw emotional charge is unstable energy. It spreads indiscriminately. Directed energy becomes force. Aristotle said, the energy of the mind is the essence of life. To direct energy intentionally is to convert potential into creation. When anger is channeled through discipline, it becomes resolve. When it is wasted through reaction, it becomes weakness. Weakness appears when the mind serves emotion instead of guiding it. Reaction is obedience to impulse. Response is obedience to judgment. The Stoic builds judgment through reflection, repetition, and restraint. They study the structure of emotion, not to deny it, but to repurpose it. Energy once used for conflict becomes fuel for construction. The same fire that burns can also forge. Fire, when uncontained, destroys. When contained, it gives warmth and light. The same principle governs the mind. A person who cannot contain anger cannot build anything enduring. Every argument becomes a battlefield. Every disagreement becomes proof of disrespect. The Stoic does not fight for victory, they fight for clarity. Clarity cannot exist in the storm of reaction. Reaction is noise, response is precision. Noise arises from lack of inner order. Precision comes from harmony between thought and feeling. This harmony requires constant correction. The disciplined mind adjusts itself when tension rises. It observes breathing, posture, tone. Each correction prevents escalation. The Stoic treats anger as training, not failure. Training begins with observation. Before anger is acted upon, it must be studied. What triggered it? Was it pride, fear, injustice, habit? Each answer reveals the self. Every moment of anger uncovers a hidden dependency on approval, on control, on comfort. The Stoic uses anger to locate these dependencies and remove them. Through removal, freedom grows. Freedom is not the absence of emotion. It is the absence of enslavement to emotion. When the mind decides where energy flows, life becomes deliberate. The reactive person scatters their energy across every disturbance. The disciplined person concentrates it into purposeful direction. Energy once divided now becomes unified. This unification is power. Power of this kind is quiet. It does not need volume. It does not rely on expression. It manifests as unbroken focus. Anger cannot penetrate a focused mind because focus assigns every emotion a function. Even frustration becomes productive. The Stoic does not waste heat. They convert it into movement. Movement without direction is chaos. Direction without movement is stagnation. The balance of both creates mastery. To live according to Aristotle's principle is to transform energy into art. Each reaction measured, each response sculpted by thought. The Stoic's temperament becomes architecture, strong, clean, deliberate. Deliberation is the safeguard against regret. Every reaction born from impulse carries potential regret. Every response born from reason carries composure. Regret signals that action outpaced reflection. The trained mind learns to reverse this order, reflection first, action second. The more this sequence is repeated, the more natural it becomes. Discipline eventually replaces instinct. Instinct is not the enemy. It is the raw material for refinement. The Stoic does not aim to erase instinct, but to evolve it. When the mind is trained, instinct becomes aligned with virtue. Anger, fear, excitement, all arise, but they move within reason's boundaries. They act as instruments, not dictators. This is the condition Aristotle described, anger in the right way, for the right purpose. Purpose is the compass of action. Without it, emotion becomes a storm without direction. To act from purpose is to place meaning before reaction. Meaning absorbs the force of insult, transforming it into endurance. The Stoic asks, "Does this serve my purpose?" If not, the energy is withdrawn. This withdrawal is not weakness, it is conservation. Conservation of energy is the secret of endurance. Those who react constantly deplete themselves. Their strength leaks through argument, complaint, and frustration. The Stoic stores energy like a reservoir, When action is required, it is delivered with full force. When action is unnecessary, energy remains still. This stillness is preparation for higher purpose. Higher purpose turns discipline into devotion. The Stoics' restraint is not apathy, it is reverence for the power of mind. They guard their attention as sacred property. Every word, gesture, and thought is filtered through this guardianship. Life becomes an expression of internal order. External chaos cannot corrupt such structure. Structure creates peace. Peace is not the absence of difficulty. It is the management of internal response to difficulty. The Stoic does not chase calmness. It emerges from proportion. Anger loses its grip when it no longer promises satisfaction. The trained mind no longer finds relief in reaction. It finds relief in control. Control does not mean domination of others. It means dominion over self. Dominion is quiet confidence that nothing external can command internal state. It is the ability to walk through conflict without losing composure, to hear insult without surrendering balance, to face resistance without abandoning principle. This is the freedom Aristotle admired, the sovereignty of the governed mind. The governed mind transforms perception. Where others see provocation, it sees data. Where others see insult, it sees instruction. Where others see opposition, it sees opportunity. This alchemy of perception turns adversity into advantage. The reactive person is a victim of sensation. The responsive person is a sculptor of meaning. Meaning gives endurance its reason. Without meaning, endurance feels like suffering. With meaning, endurance feels like progress. The Stoic endures not to prove strength, but to refine it. They view difficulty as the gymnasium of the mind. Every restraint is a repetition that builds resilience. Resilience becomes identity. A person who endures calmly becomes unshakable. External volatility loses power. Even when emotion surges, the inner rhythm remains steady. The disciplined mind feels, analyzes, decides, and acts, all within control. This sequence is the essence of reasoned living. Living with reason does not remove passion, it purifies it. Passion under discipline becomes devotion to craft, duty, and truth. Passion without discipline becomes chaos. The Stoic respects passion's force, but demands it bow to principle. Every desire, every anger, every enthusiasm must align with virtue or be dissolved. Virtue is proportion in action. It ensures that energy supports truth rather than ego. Ego reacts, virtue responds. Ego seeks dominance, virtue seeks alignment. This alignment gives the Stoic equilibrium even amid turbulence. Equilibrium is the steady flame that neither flickers with praise nor fades with insult. Insult tests proportion. When words strike, the untrained rush to defend pride, the trained pause to measure. Is this attack accurate? If so, correction follows. If false, silence suffices. The calm refusal to participate in meaningless conflict exposes the difference between reaction and response. Reaction is pride's defense. Response is reason's proof. Proof of mastery appears in restraint. Anyone can speak, few can stay silent. Anyone can strike, few can hold position. Restraint demonstrates command more clearly than aggression ever could. The Stoic values stillness, not for appearance, but for efficiency. Energy preserved is energy available for creation. Creation is the positive face of discipline. When emotion no longer dominates, energy is liberated for building, learning, teaching, and leading. The same energy once wasted on argument now fuels purpose. Aristotle's energy of the mind becomes visible as a life shaped by intention. The disciplined person directs force toward progress, not reaction. Progress demands constant recalibration. Even the trained mind drifts toward reaction under fatigue or stress. The Stoic accepts this as part of the discipline. Awareness catches the drift, corrects, and returns to center. Each correction sharpens awareness. Each recovery deepens mastery. Mastery, then, is not perfection. It is persistence. The disciplined person never ceases refining proportion between feeling and reason. Every day offers tests. Each test offers proof. This continuous refinement is what turns thought into strength. Strength born of reason cannot be provoked. Provocation loses power against awareness. The Stoic recognizes provocation as an external attempt to redirect internal energy. By refusing engagement, they deny others access to their power. The reactive person hands energy to the world. The disciplined person keeps it contained. Containment is sovereignty. Sovereignty sustains peace even amid conflict. It allows calm judgment in situations where others lose control. It transforms every confrontation into an opportunity to demonstrate composure. Each moment of control strengthens identity. Each act of restraint deepens freedom. Freedom, in this sense, is not escape from pressure. It is composure under pressure. It is the ability to remain deliberate in chaos, measured in urgency, balanced in adversity. The Stoic who trains according to Aristotle's principles embodies this posture. Their energy no longer leaks through reaction. It radiates through direction. Direction turns life into deliberate motion. Every decision aligns with principle, every word with purpose, every gesture with calm strength. This unity of action and thought defines excellence. Anger may arise, but it never commands. Energy may surge, but it never spills. The Stoic remains the architect of their inner world, directing the essence of life with clarity, proportion, and unwavering control. Self-conquest is the foundation of all strength. Plato called it the first and greatest victory. It is greater than any conquest of land, wealth, or recognition, because the self is the most cunning adversary. It hides behind emotion, habit, and justification. The mind must be trained to expose its own disguises. Until the self is conquered, all victories remain fragile, for an undisciplined mind will eventually destroy what it gains. To conquer the self is not to erase desire or emotion, but to master them through awareness. Awareness is the weapon of sovereignty. Without it, a person lives as a servant to impulse. Plato's warning that an unexamined life is not worth living is not philosophical decoration, it is instruction. Examination is what separates reaction from response. It transforms chaos into comprehension. Every unexamined reaction repeats itself. Every examined one becomes instruction. Examination begins with the observation of thought. The mind must watch itself without judgment, as though studying another person. Each reaction reveals something hidden. Why did this word provoke anger? Why did that silence create fear? Why did this delay feel unbearable? Each answer maps the terrain of the psyche. Without this map, the person walks blindly into the same storms. Heraclitus wrote, "Character is destiny. What the mind repeatedly does becomes what the person repeatedly is. Reaction shapes character when unobserved. Response shapes character when examined. Every decision under pressure writes the script of one's future." The Stoic trains to ensure that character, not impulse, becomes the author of destiny. Destiny, then, is not mystical. It is the accumulation of choices made with awareness. To train the mind to respond, not react, is to train destiny itself. The reactive life is random, steered by external winds. The responsive life is deliberate, guided by principle. The difference is inner architecture. The Stoic builds structure where others rely on circumstance. No man ever steps in the same river twice, Heraclitus said, meaning that change is constant. The mind that reacts blindly tries to repeat past solutions to new problems. The mind that adapts observes that every moment is new and requires fresh judgment. Adaptation is impossible without awareness. Awareness is impossible without examination. This cycle defines the mature mind. A mature mind moves fluidly through change without losing its center. It accepts that control lies not in fixing conditions, but in mastering perception. Every shift in circumstance becomes a mirror reflecting the state of inner order. When reaction appears, it signals where training is incomplete. When calm endures, it signals where mastery has taken root. Self-conquest begins with honesty. The person who lies to themselves cannot grow. The reactive mind defends its behavior. The responsive mind investigates it. Plato's examined life is built on truth-seeking, even when truth humiliates the ego. To see one's own weakness clearly is the beginning of power. The unwillingness to look creates blindness that perpetuates suffering. The mind resists examination because examination threatens its illusions. It wants to believe reactions are justified, that emotion equals authenticity, that habit equals identity. Stoic practice breaks these illusions through discipline of observation. Each time the mind pauses before reacting, illusion cracks. Each crack reveals the possibility of freedom. Freedom is the state in which no external event can dictate internal condition. Heraclitus would have recognized this as living in accordance with one's nature, a nature defined by awareness, not reflex. The mind must evolve faster than its environment. To do this, it must continuously examine itself, refine itself, and release what no longer serves reason. Reason is the compass of the examined life. It converts sensation into understanding. Without reason, the mind is a prisoner of its own chemistry. It obeys fear when it should analyze, obeys anger when it should measure, obeys pride when it should reflect. Reason restores hierarchy. Emotion becomes advisor, not ruler. Instinct becomes signal, not sentence. Examination also exposes contradiction. A person may preach calm, but live in agitation, claim freedom, but depend on approval, speak of control, yet react to insult. These contradictions are the fractures through which energy leaks. The Stoic repairs them through alignment between word, thought, and action. Each alignment strengthens identity. Each inconsistency weakens it. Identity is not found, it is forged. The forge is discipline, the hammer is reflection, and the fire is adversity. Each reaction that is observed rather than acted upon becomes fuel for shaping the self. The untrained mind sees adversity as attack. The trained mind sees it as temperature, necessary heat for transformation. This is how character becomes destiny. Destiny does not unfold through luck. It unfolds through repetition of right action under tension. Heraclitus saw the universe as flux, constant motion, constant change. The Stoic sees within that flux the necessity of inner stillness. Stillness is not stasis. It is anchored adaptation. It is the capacity to move through change without losing proportion. Proportion is the balance between external action and internal calm. The reactive person exaggerates every event. The disciplined person restores perspective. They know that no moment is final. Every emotion passes, every condition shifts. What matters is the constancy of principle. Principles are the stones in the river. They remain while the water moves. Principles must be chosen consciously. The unexamined adopt them by imitation, the examined build them by reflection. To build principle, is to define response in advance. When anger appears, principle dictates patience. When loss arrives, principle dictates acceptance. When confusion spreads, principle dictates observation. Principle replaces guesswork with clarity. Clarity eliminates chaos. Chaos thrives in unexamined thought. When thoughts contradict, emotion fills the gap. The Stoic neutralizes chaos by bringing thought into order. Each idea is tested for truth and utility. Each belief is measured against reality. This process is slow, but each deliberate correction strengthens composure. Composure reveals mastery more than words ever can. The world admires expression, but respects restraint. Plato's victory over the self is visible not in declarations, but in demeanor. The Stoic who has conquered themselves does not need to announce it. The silence of composure speaks more loudly than reaction ever could. Reaction is noise produced by fear of losing control. Response is the quiet assertion of it. When insult, delay, or injustice arise, the reactive mind explodes to reclaim power. The responsive mind already possesses it. Possession of self eliminates the need to prove it. This possession is the essence of the examined life. The examined life also recognizes the impermanence of all things. Heraclitus's river is both warning and wisdom. Every moment dies as soon as it arrives. The person who clings reacts in panic when change comes. The one who understands flow adapts. Adaptation requires surrender to impermanence without surrendering discipline. The Stoic stands firm in principle, but flexible in method. Flexibility without principle is chaos. Principle without flexibility is rigidity. The balance is wisdom. Wisdom is dynamic equilibrium, the ability to remain centered while everything moves. This state cannot be gifted. It must be earned through introspection, reflection, and correction. Every self-observation contributes to this equilibrium. Equilibrium sustains clarity under chaos. When the world accelerates, awareness must slow. The reactive mind speeds up with the environment and becomes confused. The trained mind decelerates internally, maintaining calm pace while events race past. This internal deceleration is the mark of mastery. It allows precision under pressure. Precision is the art of allocating attention, the reactive scatter, the responsive focus. To focus is to live deliberately. Plato's examined life is a life of directed attention. Attention is currency. It must be spent wisely. The Stoic invests it in understanding rather than complaint, in solution rather than emotion. Focus transforms difficulty into design. Design replaces drift. The unexamined drift from one reaction to another, pushed by circumstance. The examined design their behavior according to principle. This design gives purpose to suffering. Pain becomes material, not meaning. Every hardship contributes to architecture of self. The mind ceases to fear discomfort when discomfort becomes teacher. Teaching oneself requires patience. Self-mastery is slow work. The impatient seek sudden transformation and remain unchanged. The disciplined accept gradual refinement. Every moment of awareness adds to the structure. Each reflection is a brick in the foundation of composure. Over years, these small acts create unshakable calm. Calmness is not weakness, it is prepared strength. The calm person has faced themselves too often to be surprised by emotion. They have examined their anger, fear, envy, and learned their languages. These emotions no longer dominate because they are understood. Understanding dissolves compulsion. What is seen clearly loses its power to manipulate. Manipulation thrives in blindness. The person unaware of their own triggers becomes easy to control. The Stoics' awareness is protection. No insult can steer them. No temptation can enslave them. This invulnerability is not arrogance, but discipline. It is built through the continuous act of self-observation. Observation requires courage. To look at oneself honestly is to see both virtue and corruption. Most turn away. The Stoic remains still, acknowledging both. Recognition of imperfection is the beginning of progress. Denial preserves weakness. Observation transforms it. This courage distinguishes the examined from the ignorant. Ignorance prefers comfort over truth. It mistakes ease for peace. But peace built on avoidance is fragile. The Stoics' peace is constructed from confrontation with reality. They examine their thoughts daily, remove deceit, and reinforce truth. This continuous cleansing keeps the mind light and responsive. Responsiveness is the fruit of examination. When life changes direction, the untrained hesitate, clinging to routine. The examined adjust without panic. They understand that adaptation is not betrayal of stability, it is its expression. The flexible remain steady because they bend, the rigid break because they resist. Resistance to change comes from fear, fear comes from illusion. Examination dissolves illusion by revealing what is actually at risk. Most fear losing comfort, control, or identity. Once seen clearly, these fears lose authority. The Stoic no longer fears losing what can be lost. They focus on preserving what cannot: integrity, awareness, and principle. Principle outlasts circumstance. When all else changes, principle holds shape. This constancy gives life direction amid chaos. Heraclitus's river flows, but the Stoic's foundation stands within it. Character, once built through examination, becomes the unmoving point in an ever-moving world. Destiny follows its shape. The person who conquers themselves becomes their own compass. They no longer wait for calm weather to navigate. They steer through storms with clarity. Their reactions have dissolved into responses, their impulses into purpose. The examined life turns existence into mastery. Every thought is weighed, every act chosen, every emotion guided. Plato's victory of self and Heraclitus's law of change meet here. To remain stable within motion, calm within fire, deliberate within uncertainty. The mind trained to respond, not react, embodies both. It stands at the center of flux, aware of impermanence but unafraid of it. Its character shapes its destiny. Its awareness shapes its freedom, and its examination ensures it never steps into the same inner river twice. Change begins in the unseen. Plutarch understood this when he wrote, "What we achieve inwardly will change outer reality." The external world bends to the posture of the inner world. Every action begins as a thought, every word as a decision of judgment. A person's internal order radiates outward into behavior, tone, and presence. To train the mind to respond, not react, is to master this invisible source of power, the inner architecture that shapes all that follows. Marcus Aurelius observed that, if you are distressed by anything external, the pain is not due to the thing itself, but to your estimate of it, and this you have the power to revoke at any moment. The Stoic understands that suffering does not originate from circumstance, but from interpretation. When the mind attributes meaning without examination, it manufactures pain. When it reclaims the right to define meaning, it reclaims freedom. Mastery of perception transforms external chaos into internal stability. Every event passes through the filter of interpretation before it reaches emotion. The untrained person mistakes interpretation for truth. They believe their first impression is reality itself. The disciplined mind inserts space between event and judgment. It observes the initial reaction without merging with it. That space is where power lives. Within it, perception can be corrected, proportion restored, emotion refined. External disturbance becomes irrelevant when inner estimation is controlled. A word, a look, a delay, these have no intrinsic power. They gain strength only when the mind assigns them weight. The Stoic trains daily to revoke unnecessary weight. They strip experience of imagined insult, discard the excess narrative, and confront only what is factual. This discipline frees them from the tyranny of interpretation. Interpretation decides quality of life. Two people can face the same hardship. One collapses, the other grows. The event is the same, the meaning differs. Meaning is the architecture of endurance. The reactive mind asks, "Why me?" The responsive mind asks, "How shall I meet this?" One question weakens, the other strengthens. The difference is in perception, not circumstance. Perception must be trained like a muscle. Each moment of restraint is a repetition. Every pause before reacting reinforces control. The mind learns to separate thought from fact, emotion from event. This separation creates objectivity, and objectivity breeds calm. Calmness is not passivity. It is command of interpretation. Command requires awareness of one's own patterns. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "When you are offended at any man's fault, turn to yourself and study your own failings." This is the discipline of reflection. The reactive person seeks fault in others. The Stoic seeks it within. Each offense reveals an unguarded attachment, an unexamined insecurity. To be offended is to confess dependence on the opinions of others. To study that reaction is to reclaim sovereignty. Sovereignty begins with responsibility. A mind that blames outwardly cannot grow inwardly. Every irritation, every frustration, every slight is a mirror. It reflects the shape of one's inner state. The Stoic studies these reflections without judgment. When insult pierces deeply, it reveals attachment to pride. When injustice provokes rage, it reveals unhealed ambition. When failure brings despair, it reveals misplaced identity. These discoveries are not humiliations. They are coordinates for self-correction. Self-correction is the highest form of discipline. It replaces complaint with construction. Instead of demanding the world change, the Stoic adjusts the self. This adjustment is not submission. It is strategic realignment. Power grows where energy is internalized. The world loses control over the person who ceases to assign it authority over emotion. Authority over emotion is authority over experience. The one who governs interpretation governs the feeling of life itself. The untrained live as weathered trees, bending under every gust of circumstance. The disciplined stand firm, not because storms vanish, but because their roots are deep in understanding. The wind of insult may blow, but interpretation keeps them upright. Marcus Aurelius taught, "The best revenge is not to be like your enemy." This line encapsulates the Stoic code of response. To react with hatred, to hatred is to multiply it. To mirror malice is to validate it. The Stoic breaks the chain of imitation. They respond with virtue, not vengeance. Revenge satisfies ego, but depletes dignity. Virtue restores control. Control is preservation of identity under pressure. When external hostility arises, the Stoic's task is to maintain inner shape. Character is not proven when life is peaceful, but when provoked. To respond with patience in the face of offense is not weakness, it is proof of mastery. The enemy's intention is to disturb. The Stoic's response denies that satisfaction. To deny reaction is not to retreat, it is to lead. Leadership begins with self-command. The person who cannot lead their own thoughts cannot lead in the world. Reaction belongs to impulse, response belongs to vision. The vision-driven mind acts with proportion, timing, and intent. Each action aligns with principle, not emotion. This alignment creates strength that endures beyond conflict. Plutarch's insight that what we achieve inwardly will change outer reality finds proof in this discipline. When inner order stabilizes, external chaos loses effect. The same event no longer provokes. Relationships improve not because others change, but because interpretation softens. The world reflects the balance one carries within. Inner transformation becomes external reform. To respond consciously is to shape reality deliberately. Every act of composure alters the surrounding atmosphere. Calmness influences without command. People trust those who remain steady when others panic. Stability becomes a form of silent authority. This authority is not domination. It is gravitational. It draws respect by the weight of inner discipline. Discipline converts reaction into reflection. When provoked, the Stoic uses the pause to examine intent. They ask, does response serve principle or ego? If it serves ego, silence is stronger. If it serves justice, action must remain clean. The aim is not victory, but integrity. The moment integrity is preserved, the event is mastered. Mastery is not control over others. It is composure within the self. The reactive mind depends on outcomes for peace. The trained mind maintains peace regardless of outcome. This independence is rare and therefore powerful. It cannot be bribed by praise or threatened by criticism. It remains loyal only to reason. Reason transforms emotion into purpose. When anger appears, reason channels it into action aligned with value. When sorrow arises, reason gives it meaning. When envy whispers, reason silences it with gratitude. Every emotion becomes functional when guided by thought. The Stoic does not deny feeling. They assign it duty. Duty organizes energy. Energy without structure wastes itself. The disciplined person builds inner hierarchy, reason at the top, emotion beneath it, action as servant of both. This hierarchy prevents chaos. Chaos, in this sense, is not noise but inversion, when emotion leads and reason follows. The Stoic reverses this order through repetition of restraint. Restraint is creative, not suppressive. It channels force into direction. Each time the mind holds itself steady under pressure, strength compounds. Reaction dissipates energy. Response concentrates it. Concentrated energy becomes presence. Presence is silent influence, the field of calm that steadies others without speech. Presence cannot be faked. It comes from years of choosing response over reaction. Each disciplined choice reinforces the nervous system until calm becomes instinct. At this stage, composure is not effortful, it is natural. The body reflects the mind's stillness. Breathing deepens, movement slows, gaze stabilizes. The external body mirrors inner order. Inner order cannot coexist with self-deception. To train response, one must tell the truth to oneself, relentlessly. Marcus Aurelius's instruction to turn to yourself and study your own failings demands humility. The proud cannot improve because pride defends imperfection. The Stoic exposes weakness without shame, knowing that exposure is the only path to strength. Strength derived from awareness cannot be taken away. It is not dependent on approval, comfort, or status. It exists in solitude as it does in company. This independence is the highest form of security. External success can vanish, but inner discipline remains. The person who responds rather than reacts carries peace that cannot be stolen. Peace is not a reward. It is a skill. It is built through thousands of small acts of refusal. The refusal to argue needlessly, to take offense quickly, to dramatize setbacks, to chase validation. Each refusal is a victory of awareness. These victories accumulate quietly until they form unshakable confidence. Confidence born of control is unbreakable. Confidence must remain humble to stay pure. The Stoic does not boast about control. They express it through steadiness, their calm tone in chaos, their patience under irritation, their fairness under injustice. These qualities are their testament. Power expressed through calmness endures because it rests on understanding, not image. Understanding replaces judgment. When others act poorly, the Stoic interprets through empathy, not condemnation. They remember their own failings and extend the same forgiveness they wish to receive. This attitude disarms hostility. Compassion is not weakness, it is strategic wisdom. It protects the mind from bitterness and keeps focus on what can be improved. Improvement becomes the lifelong pursuit. Each day offers opportunities to test composure. The Stoic welcomes these tests. They measure progress not by comfort, but by response. The fewer events that disturb them, the closer they approach freedom. Freedom is not escape from life. It is mastery within it. Mastery begins and ends with the mind's estimation of events. Marcus Aurelius's insight that pain comes from judgment, not circumstance, defines the core of Stoic practice. Revoking false judgments restores clarity. Clarity dissolves anxiety. Anxiety fades into steadiness. The chain of transformation always begins inward. Plutarch's truth completes the circle. Inner transformation reshapes the outer world. The disciplined mind becomes a force of order in any environment. Its calmness influences the pace of conversation, the tone of conflict, the quality of work. Outer change becomes a reflection of inner excellence. Response replaces reaction, not just within the individual, but within the collective. The world changes when minds change. Each act of composure contributes to the collective reduction of chaos. The Stoic does not seek to reform others through argument, but through example. Their peace becomes contagious. It spreads silently, shifting dynamics without demand. This is how inner victories reshape reality. The mind that responds instead of reacts builds a world governed by proportion rather than impulse. Its strength is quiet but immense. It alters the unseen fabric of interaction, replacing volatility with equilibrium. When distress arises, it remembers that pain belongs to perception. When offense appears, it looks inward before outward. When anger tempts, it chooses virtue over vengeance. In this way, the Stoic does not simply endure the world. They refine it through the mastery of their own response. Freedom is not found in comfort. It is found in command. Epictetus, born into bondage, understood that the mind could remain sovereign even when the body could not. He taught that no one is free who is not master of themselves. External pressure tests this mastery more than any philosophy or theory ever could. It is easy to speak of calm when life is still. The true measure is composure when the world constricts. Pressure reveals the strength of structure. The untrained mind collapses under it because it depends on external ease for stability. The trained mind endures because it has built order within. When life tightens around the individual, when time shortens, when insult, fatigue, and uncertainty gather, the Stoic sees a proving ground. Freedom is forged precisely where control appears to vanish. Epictetus taught that freedom comes from aligning will with reality. When the mind demands that events obey desire, suffering begins. When it accepts that desire must obey reality, peace follows. This is not surrender. It is alignment with the laws of existence. The Stoic stops arguing with what is. They channel energy into governing the self, not dictating the world. Every loss, delay, or rejection becomes a signal to return to this principle. The untrained person views these as violations of control. The disciplined person sees reminders of the limits of power. When the mind remembers what belongs to it and what does not, pressure cannot deform it. The border between inner and outer becomes clear. Beyond that border, disturbance loses jurisdiction. To train the mind under pressure, one must practice stillness amid movement. The body may act, the world may roar, but the mind must remain measured. This inner stillness is not emptiness, it is deliberate awareness. It watches fear rise without permission, then recedes without panic. It watches anger form, then dissolve under reason. Each observation reinforces command. Command of self is not the elimination of sensation, it is the mastery of response to sensation. Pain will exist, confusion will arise, disappointment will arrive. But interpretation decides the experience. Epictetus insisted that events themselves are neutral. Judgment paints them with color. If judgment remains steady, pressure becomes training, not torment. Training under pressure means using every disturbance as practice. When insult appears, it becomes a test of dignity. When fear appears, it becomes a test of courage. When uncertainty appears, it becomes a test of patience. Every hardship is a disguised instructor. The Stoic greets these moments as lessons from fate. Each one teaches the art of freedom. Freedom under pressure depends on the ability to pause. Reaction breaks the connection to reason. Response preserves it. The pause is the interval where choice is made visible. Within it, the person reclaims authorship. Those who react serve circumstance. Those who respond rule it. The Stoic cultivates this pause until it becomes instinct. Instinctive calmness does not mean insensitivity. It means awareness moves faster than impulse. The mind catches emotion before emotion captures it. This is mastery in motion. It allows the Stoic to face chaos without internal collapse. The heart may race, but judgment remains slow. The body may tense, but the will stays loose and deliberate. Deliberation is the mark of freedom. The untrained mind moves from sensation to action in one unbroken chain. The disciplined mind inserts thought between them. Thought transforms reflex into reason. Reason transforms tension into direction. This process keeps dignity intact even in crisis. Crisis magnifies truth. Under pressure, every pretense falls away. The person who has built strength through appearance falters. The one who built it through inner order stands. Stoic training is designed for such moments. Its purpose is not comfort, but capability. To remain in possession of self when everything external is stripped away. Epictetus lived by necessity, not luxury. His philosophy emerged from hardship, not theory. He understood that external suffering can sharpen inner freedom if endured with clarity. The one who remains calm under pressure becomes untouchable, not because they deny pain, but because they refuse to multiply it through judgment. Pain is amplified by resistance. Resistance arises from the desire for things to be different. Acceptance does not mean passivity, it means the redirection of energy toward what can still be governed. The Stoic endures pressure by using it. They let adversity reveal where the mind is weak, where impatience hides, where pride still clings. Then they refine themselves accordingly. Refinement through pressure transforms fragility into resilience. Each test removes illusion, the illusion of control, the illusion of permanence, the illusion of fairness. All are burned away by difficulty. What remains is essence, the disciplined self, stripped of dependence. This self no longer reacts to insult or misfortune as injustice, but as reality requiring response. Reality demands adaptation. Heraclitus was right. No one steps in the same river twice. Conditions change constantly, But the untrained mind wants repetition. It seeks familiarity and calls it peace. The Stoic finds peace not in repetition, but in readiness. They cultivate an adaptable mind that can remain calm in flux. Adaptability is not weakness, it is proof of command. Command under pressure means flexibility guided by principle. The Stoic bends without breaking, they adjust without surrendering values. Their principles form the backbone, their methods remain fluid. This harmony between firmness and flow allows survival without corruption. When pressure increases, rigidity snaps, disciplined adaptability holds. Holding steady under pressure does not mean suppressing emotion. It means integrating it. Fear can coexist with movement. Anger can coexist with clarity. The Stoic allows emotion to exist, but refuses to obey it. They use emotion as signal, not authority. This internal coexistence produces outer composure. Composure is the visible form of freedom. It demonstrates that the mind governs the body, not the other way around. In a storm, even posture reveals training. Shoulders relaxed, breath deep, gaze forward. The Stoic maintains symmetry, while others collapse inward. The body becomes the language of the mind's order. Order cannot exist without reflection. Each night, the disciplined person examines the day's responses. Where did impatience appear? Where did irritation distort perception? Reflection converts experience into wisdom. Without it, pressure teaches nothing. With it, every hardship becomes advancement. Advancement through pressure produces an unshakable identity. The reactive person defines themselves through outcomes. The responsive defines themselves through conduct. Conduct remains constant even when success and failure alternate. This constancy is freedom, the ability to stay the same in virtue while the world changes its tone. Tone is the world's test. Praise, blame, victory, loss, each seeks to influence posture. The Stoic receives both with the same face. Praise does not inflate, criticism does not puncture. The trained mind measures worth by internal standards, not external voices. This independence immunizes against manipulation. Manipulation feeds on reaction. Those who react are easy to control because they can be provoked. The person who responds with thought cannot be steered by flattery or fear. They remain neutral amid emotional climates. Neutrality here is not detachment, but balance, seeing all sides clearly, unmoved by bias. Balance is strength disguised as calm. The untrained call it indifference. The wise recognize it as power contained. The mind that holds stillness under pressure radiates quiet authority. It influences without effort. This presence alters environments. People sense it and adjust unconsciously to its steadiness. Steadiness under pressure is not learned in ease. It is carved by repetition of small trials. Each time the mind chooses restraint over impulse, it gains mass. Each time it stays still while chaos rises, it fortifies. Over time, this creates psychological armor, imperceptible yet impenetrable. Armor of this kind is not for display, it is for endurance. Life will continue to deliver friction, betrayal, delay, misunderstanding, fatigue. The Stoic no longer hopes for their absence. They prepare for their certainty. When they arrive, the mind is ready. Resistance meets readiness, and reaction dissolves into composure. Composure allows clean action. When panic ends, precision begins. The Stoic acts according to principle, not emotion. Decisions made in calm produce results that endure. Action taken in rage produces regret. The difference is not intelligence, but posture. Clarity cannot exist inside turmoil. Turmoil is voluntary once awareness exists. The mind can always step back from the flame of reaction. It can always choose stillness, even for a second. That second is enough to change trajectory. Epictetus knew that every freedom begins with one pause. Within that pause lies the space where destiny diverges. Destiny favors the mind that refuses chaos. It rewards the person who remains deliberate in disorder. When others lose proportion, the Stoic maintains scale. They measure response by truth, not emotion. This consistency turns unpredictability into routine. No matter how conditions shift, the method remains: observe, interpret, respond. Response replaces reaction through repeated practice of this cycle. Observation neutralizes surprise. Interpretation dissolves distortion. Response aligns with principle. This process becomes automatic through repetition. The mind learns to default to reason. Emotion becomes participant, not driver. Driving one's own life under pressure is the essence of freedom. Freedom is not exemption from hardship, but sovereignty within it. The Stoic accepts that fate will deliver trials without schedule. Their task is to meet each with proportionate strength. Each successful response reinforces trust in self. Trust becomes calmness. Calmness becomes power. Power of this kind does not seek control of others. It seeks mastery of attention. Attention decides meaning. Meaning decides experience. The Stoic directs attention toward what can be done, not what is feared. Under pressure, this focus prevents collapse. The mind stays on conduct, not outcome. The outcome unfolds as it must. Conduct aligned with reason is never wasted. Even failure under principle is victory. The person who remains composed when all else fails proves that freedom is internal. No external event can disgrace the disciplined mind. Their peace does not depend on reward, it depends on alignment. Alignment between reason and action creates serenity that survives tension. The body may be exhausted, but the will stays balanced. The world may mock, but dignity stays silent. The pressure may rise, but inner gravity holds the center. This balance is what Epictetus meant by mastery. The free person carries their own calm wherever they go. The ultimate freedom is the ability to remain oneself under pressure, to feel fear without surrender, to feel pain without despair, to feel insult without hatred. Each of these moments confirms the mind's sovereignty. In such composure, pressure becomes irrelevant. The external world may constrict, but the inner world expands. Within that expansion lies the final proof of Stoic freedom, the self ruled entirely by itself, untouchable, deliberate, and infinitely still.